All right. What's up? What's up? You guys ready to go? So far, everyone's been really, really relaxed today. All right, we got a long ways to go and a very short amount of time to get there. I realized that during silence, I didn't introduce myself, so let me go ahead and do that. My name is Chris High. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And if today is your first time with us, right now we are in the middle of this conversation called Restoring Relationships. And we're looking at how to love well. If you could sum up this conversation into two words, it would be those two words. Loving well. How can we love as best as humanly possible? And we look at the people around us, the people that we care for, that we want to love well. How do we love them as best as we possibly can? And as we began last week, I asked for all of us to identify one relationship that we were going to begin to work on, that we were going to begin to work through as we began to look at the principles and how God teaches us to love well. Understanding that if you're going to love well, it requires both time and energy, two things that we have limited resources of. But then as we walk through this conversation, what we want to do is we want to look at Jesus Christ's life, who also had limited time and energy, look at how he interacted with that, and then bring that into our lives and hopefully realize how to love well. And so I asked you to identify that one person. And today, as we come to this point, if you weren't here last week, I want to invite you to do the same thing. And as we move through this today, to kind of begin picturing that one person. If you would like for us to be praying for you about that, on your connection card, in the comments section, you can just write the name of that relationship. You don't need to write the name of the person, but if it's your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, your kid, your coworker, your friend, whoever it may be, if you write that in and drop those connection cards off at the end, we'll be praying for you over the course of the next few weeks. And today, I'm excited because we're looking at the first principle that I believe the scriptures teach us is crucial and how we love people. It's a principle, however, that you may not connect with love right off the bat. And last week we talked about different ways that we try to manipulate time and that we try to manipulate energy or that we try to manufacture them. And we talked about, you know, energy drinks and we talked, and I'll be honest with you, for those of you who were here last week, I'm still a little bitter about the fact that so few of you raised your hands. But we'll get to that later. But we talked about energy drinks and we talked about technology that we use to try to create time and we're trying to manufacture time. And to be honest, those things that we talked about last week are not necessarily where I struggle. Where I struggle is really with what we are talking about and what we're working through today. And from the very beginning of this conversation, I've told you, this isn't something that we're walking through that, man, I've experienced this, it's amazing, I've got this figured out, let me share with you what God's been doing and how I've seen this work. This is not that kind of conversation. This is a conversation where we're walking through this together. And this is the journey that I'm on, and we're walking through this hand in hand. And specifically when it comes to the conversation today, I mean, today I am talking to myself and including you in the conversation, all right? This is probably one of my biggest challenges when it comes to loving well. Because when it comes to this idea of limited time and energy, the way that I make up for it is not believing that technology is going to give me more time or believing that I can take the energy drinks and I'm going to be able to push through. It's not really how I deal with it. The way that I deal with it is that I just keep going. I simply eliminate rest. And so I just push and push and push and push, and I stay up later and later and later and later. And sometimes people will joke around about the time that they receive emails from me, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. Some of you know that lifestyle. You live that lifestyle. And for you, in your culture and in your company, that's kind of the expected, that's the norm, that you're just going to keep going and going and going and going. And in my life, to be honest with you, that's how I've lived most of my life. I just push. I'm just going to go more. And as I interact with this idea that I'm limited, I have just decided that I'm going to push past that limitation. I'm going to push myself as hard as I can, as long as I can, as far as I can. And I think that that's probably true for a lot of us. Especially when you look at the culture in which we live. I think for a lot of us, this is kind of the norm. We've bought into this idea that we can be the Energizer Bunny, that we can just go and go and go and go and go and go. I've lived this way for a very, very, very long time. As a matter of fact, I can remember, I mean, even when I was really young, I hated going to bed. I look at going to bed like giving up on myself. Literally, that's how I look at it. Like, oh man, all right, fine. I have to finally give up on myself and my ability to do anything more in this day. And even when I was young, I'd stay up for unbelievably late just reading. And it's just the way that I've lived my life. But as I've gotten older, I've realized two things. One, I can't go as far. But I think more importantly, I've also begun to realize the impact that that has had on the relationships that I have and that I have had in the past. And I mentioned it briefly last week, but I seem to find myself over and over again in situations where I have the time to be able to be with people, but I don't necessarily have the ability to invest in them when I'm there. And as I've looked at it, I've begun to realize that it's a product of this mentality that I can just go and go and go and go and go. And in our culture, there have been all sorts of articles that have been written and studies that have been done about how rest impacts our productivity. Because that's what we value. I mean, productivity in a lot of ways is one of our gods, and we serve it, we love it, we value it, we think that it gives us value and security, but we think that it is what defines us. And so there's all sorts of articles. I read the Harvard Business Review quite frequently, and article after article after article has come through there. It's talking about how, as an employer, you need to look at the rest that your employees are getting because that's going to impact their productivity, and if you want them to be more productive, then you need to take this into account. And there's innumerable studies that have been done on this. But what I've realized as I've begun to look at my own life and my ability to love well is that not only does my rest impact my productivity, but I think more importantly, it impacts my ability to care for the people that I want to care for. I've noticed it in my life. I've noticed it in the conversations that I've had with others who are struggling in relationships. And so oftentimes, I'll have conversations with people, and they're talking about the problems that are beginning to arise in their relationships. And so they're not able to be patient with one another, or all of a sudden, anger is beginning to become part of the situation. They're not able to understand or listen to one another. Their communication is beginning to break down. And they come in, and they want to address this problem. But the more that we talk through it, the more that we look at what's actually happening, we discover that the problem is not so much the communication. The problem is not so much losing the temper in the situation. The problem is not so much the patience and the ability to have patience as it is the fact that they are just completely stretched to the end of themselves. And one of the things that I've begun to realize is that if you want to have a great relationship, if you want to love well, it's unbelievably difficult when you're stretched to the end of yourself. And it's amazing to me how many times that anger problem can be resolved, not necessarily with anger management, so much as with rest. And the problem is not so much the patience issue as it is a rest issue. Some of you may find yourself there right now. And you're in the midst of a relationship, and there's all this tension, and there's all these problems that are beginning to bubble to the surface. I wonder if you were to dig down into that, if you were to go past the surface level, if you wouldn't find that part of the problem, if not all of the problem, is rest. You See, I don't think it should surprise us that when we're at the end of ourselves, that when we're continually pushing to go further and further and further and further and further and further and further, that we don't listen well. I don't think it should surprise us that when we're pushing and going further and further and further and further and further, that we can't communicate well. I don't think it should surprise us that we aren't patient. I don't think it should surprise us that our anger is all of a sudden stronger than we've ever found it to be before. See, one of the things that I've begun to realize in my own life is that one of the crucial components to my ability to be able to love my wife and my kids and those around me is something that I have for a very long time hated. It's this thing called rest. And I think when you come to the scriptures, God has some really powerful things to say about this. And he's been walking me through this and kind of calling me back to this as I've been looking at how to love better. And he's been addressing some lies in my life that I want to address in your life as well. I want to take you to a passage. It's found in Exodus chapter 20. And I think in this passage, there are a couple different things that God wants for us to understand about rest and the role that it plays in our lives and some of those lies that begin to creep into our viewpoint or our perspective on rest. It's interesting. As God is walking the nation of Israel out of slavery, one of the things that he's doing for them is he's trying to establish for them a culture. And if you really want to understand Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, if you want to understand these books that for so many of us we skip over when we're reading through the scriptures, and if you want to understand them, then you have to understand at the very heart of these books is that God wants to establish for these people, this slave nation who has had no culture of their own, they've experienced no culture outside of Egyptian culture, that as he's writing these books to them, what he's doing is he's establishing for them a culture. Okay, this is now how you interact with one another. This is how you treat one another, how you're going to love one another, how you're going to function as a society. And as he's building this culture for them, one of the things that he builds into it over and over and over and over and over again is this idea or this principle of rest. And we see this in the book of Exodus chapter 20, and you see it throughout all of those books. In Exodus chapter 20, as he's helping them to understand this principle of rest and how this is going to look in their culture, this is what he says. And I love the way that he phrases it because in it, he teaches us some powerful things about rest. We're going to start off in verse 8. It says, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day." And then he begins to explain what the Sabbath day is all about. He says, "By keeping it holy, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days," and this is interesting because as he's helping them to understand the principle of rest, he actually stops and says, "But in order for you to understand the fullness of what I'm trying to teach you here, I want to take you back to creation." And so as he's trying to teach them the principle, he takes them back to the creation story. So he says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." And as he does that, I think that he teaches us one of the most important things, at least for me, and I would bet that it's probably true for a lot of us, one of the most important truths about rest, and that is this: it is the way that you were created. Now that may seem really obvious, but here's the thing that I believe about rest. I believe that rest is the result of my brokenness. And there's this lie inside of me that says, you know what? You know why you get tired? You know why you can't go? You know why you can't push any further? It's because you're broken. It's the result of the fall. But as God is trying to establish this principle of rest in the culture for the nation of Israel, he pulls them back to creation because he wants them to understand something. Rest is not the result of your brokenness, but it's actually part of the beauty of the intended creation. It's part of how you're created in God's image. This is not a flaw in you. This is part of the beauty of you. Rest. I struggle with that. I struggle with that. Because I look at my limitations, especially in this area, and I think, oh man, if I could just go a little further, if I could just go a little harder, then I would be more of who I was created to be. I would accomplish what I was created to accomplish. And God, as he's talking to the nation of Israel, he says, listen, reference back to creation. And you guys can go back, read through Genesis 1 through 3. Sleep and rest are not a product of the fall. It's part of the beauty of how you were created. And in those moments where I push further, and it's tricky, right? Because oftentimes the reason I'm pushing further, the reason I'm pushing harder, the reason I'm going more is because I want to love more. I want to take better care of the people around me. And in those moments, I tell myself that as I push harder, as I do more, as I add that one more thing, I tell myself that I'm actually being more of who I was created to be. But in this passage, as he's talking to the nation of Israel, he's very clear. No. When you do that, it's not more of who you were created to be. It's actually a departure from what was intended. It's a departure. That's hard for me to believe. I struggle with that. Even as I was last night going over the message and just saying these words, I'm in this conversation with God, and God, help me to believe this. Because when you look at the truth, my brokenness does not result in me needing rest. My brokenness is actually the part of me that says that I need to do more, that I should push further. It's part of how you were created. But then the passage doesn't just reference back to creation to say that this is part of how it was intended to be, that this is how we reflect God, that this is how we're created in his image. It's not just that this is how we were created before, but then also, this is not something to be conquered, but something to be embraced. And so as he's talking to them, he doesn't say to them, you know, you used to need to rest, but now you can overcome that. No, he's introducing this principle of Sabbath that, listen, you're going to take this day. And why is he introducing this to them? So that they don't continue to try to overcome it, so that they don't begin this mission of conquering rest, but that they rather embrace it as part of who they are and part of the beauty of what it means to live life to the fullest. To live life with everything that we have. It's not to be overcome. It's not to be conquered. It's to be embraced. Everything inside of me wants to overcome it. Everything inside of me wants to conquer it. Everything inside of me wants to never have to sleep again. No. It's not to be conquered. It's to be embraced. And so, Israel, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take 1/7 of your life. 1/7 of your life. And actually, when you read through the other books, you find that it's a much greater percentage than that, because he also tells them to take the 7th year off. And there's all sorts of other ways that he's building rest into what they're doing. But just with the Sabbath, he says, I want you to take 1/7 of your life and do nothing. I would bet 75% of you just thought in your mind, what a waste. The other 25% of you thought, that's what I do. In my mind, I think, what a waste. Because we've bought into the lie that our value is based upon what we can produce, what we can accomplish. And not just our value to the culture and the world in which we live, but we've bought into the lie that our value before God is based upon what we can produce and what we can accomplish. I've said it several times throughout this year. God did not invite you into this journey with Him. He did not adopt you into this family. He did not bring you into this mission and put you into this plan for what you would accomplish for Him. He does not invite you to engage this mission with Him for what you will accomplish, but for the relationship that He will build with you along the way. And a big part of that is going to be you and Him doing what He demonstrated for us so long ago, enjoying what has been created. Rest. Rest. It's how you were created. It's not to be conquered, but embraced. And then I also see in this passage that as He's talking to them, He's being very clear. This needs to be something that's intentional, not just something that happens occasionally or just falls into place, but this needs to be intentional. So you need to set aside time for this. This is a priority for you. I mean, think about the precedent He's setting here as far as the priority of rest. It's 1/7 of your life. Do you think it was important to Him? I think so. 1/7 of your life. It has to be intentional. Now, I also, and I want to be very clear about this, when you come to the New Testament after Jesus Christ has given His life for us and we've been brought into this family, the New Testament writers are very, very clear about this. We don't live under the law and the culture of the nation of Israel that says, okay, it needs to be this specific day for this amount of hours and it needs to be structured this way. As a matter of fact, Paul, as he's writing the New Testament, he says, listen, don't let anyone make you a slave to Sabbath days. In other words, it needs to be this day of the week or that day of the week or this day over here. But the principle of rest continues. And I believe that as you look at how God is communicating it here, you see that this is part of how you were created, that this is not to be overcome but to be embraced, and that it needs to be intentional. And then when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you see that He consistently makes this a priority as well. And so we're often told that He went away, and it often says that He goes away to pray, but then there are specific times where you see that Jesus is creating time to rest. I want to take you to a passage. It's found in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 31. And Jesus is in the middle of His ministry, and so people are flocking to Him. I mean, this is a situation where He has unlimited number of people to love. And so if there's anyone who could just go and 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 have good reason to do so, it's Him. But yet, in the middle of that, listen to what He does. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told Him all that they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. If you get the chance, I encourage you to read the rest of Mark chapter 6 and chapter 7, because it's interesting. They try to find a place to rest, but people keep coming and people keep finding them. And so it's this story of Jesus and His disciples, and they end up going different ways and splitting up so that they can find time to get away and rest. Because you see, I think that Jesus understood what God has been trying to teach us for thousands of years. This is not something to be overcome, but something to be embraced. And if you want to love well, you have to trust God with how you've been created and what it looks like for you to be able to rest. So as you look at that one person that you're trying to love better, And as we come to this first week and we're looking at, okay, how do we put into place what Jesus has demonstrated and what God is trying to teach us about how to love well? My challenge to you is to do something that might seem completely disconnected from loving that person. My challenge to you is this: rest. Trust God about rest. I want to challenge you to do that in two very specific ways. The first one has to do with the application of the Sabbath principle. Now, as we were talking through this inside of our speaking team, the speaking team was challenging me, what does that look like? How do we do that? And as a father, I've begun to think through that a little bit differently because I look at my son, Caden or Kale, and I'm thinking through, okay, how would I teach them as they grow up to interact with this idea of the Sabbath principle of setting aside time to rest, intentionally setting aside time to rest? And so as I've worked through that, there's a few things that I've settled down on that I want to challenge you with as you begin to interact with this and as you look at putting this in practice. I think if you're going to do this, one of the first things that has to happen is that you have to be intentional. So looking at how God calls us to be intentional in that passage, I think you need to be intentional. So you need to set aside time. If this is the first time that you're interacting with God about this idea of rest, then I would challenge you to set aside at least half of a day. Half of a day. And it has to be consistent because here's the thing. If you're trying to build a habit in your life, it needs to be consistent. If you're not consistent with it, it won't be a consistent part of your life. And so it needs to be a time that you can, every single week, this is going to be my time of rest. And so I think you have to be intentional. The next thing I think I would challenge you to do, that I would encourage you to do, is to have conversations with those who know you best and ask them, what does it look like for me to rest? What does it look like for me to rest? Because I've found that we're really good at lying to ourselves about what it looks like for us to rest. And so it's very easy, and sometimes I'll have conversations with people, and they'll say, I'm taking some time to rest. Oh, what are you doing? I'm headed to the mall. That is not rest, okay? And if that's your choice, and your friends are looking at you saying, yes, that is a great way for you to rest, get new friends. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. That is not going to lead you to rest. Or you say, I'm going on this race, and sometimes people tell me that, I'm going for this climb. That may be really rejuvenating for you, but that is not rest. And let me challenge you with this too. Don't mistake a high for rest. And sometimes we do this. And so, yeah, going for that run might give you a high and an adrenaline rush, but it is not rest. And going shopping may give you a high and an adrenaline rush, but it is not rest. Don't make that mistake. And I think this is one of the reasons why God is so particular with the nation of Israel, because he doesn't want them to lie to themselves about what it means to rest. And so you need to talk to people who know you well. What does it look like for me to rest? And for some of you, that might be, curling up on your couch and reading. Some of you might be being outdoors, but not exerting crazy amounts of energy. But be honest with each other. What does it mean to rest? And then in that time, I think there's two things that you need to do. One, based upon the precedent that we see in Scripture, one, you need to engage God. And so when God introduces this principle in Exodus chapter 20, right, this is time to be able to, it's dedicated to the Lord, it says. And so this is time that you're going to enjoy Him. And remember we talked about last week that the relationships that we have had previously will impact the relationships that we currently have, that God wants to be the relationship that you have had previously, that you are currently experiencing, that impacts the other relationships in your life. One of the ways that you experience that relationship with Him is in this time of rest. And so enjoying Him, enjoying His creation. And you need to, in some way, shape, or form, engage Him in that time of rest. And then, and this is something new for me, I've never taught this before, but when I was working through these passages and looking at how God is teaching us to rest in the Sabbath principle, I think as well, you need to engage those who are closest to you. And we live in an individualistic culture, and so sometimes this Sabbath principle, the idea of solitude has been read into the Sabbath principle. When God is interacting with the nation of Israel, He's not leading them to have a day of solitude that they called Sabbath. No, Sabbath was a day when they were together as a family, and they didn't work. And so they're engaging those who are closest to them and loving them in that way. And so I would lead you to engage those who are closest to you. And for those of you who have families, that's really easy to do. And so you're just spending that time with family. I think it's one of the ways that Sabbath leads us to love well, because it separates time for those relationships that are closest to us. Not for us to do something, accomplish something, but for us to enjoy one another the very way that God enjoyed his creation on the seventh day. And so you engage those who are closest to you. Now, for some of you, you're sitting here and you're single and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't have family like that here. That's fine. Look around you. You are surrounded by people that you can have those kind of relationships with. And many, many of you do. But we can buy into the lie that in order to have family, we have to have a husband or a wife or kids or this. No. Begin to develop a group of people that where you care for one another that way. And then in this time, engage that group of people. And then as you come out of that, the other thing that I would challenge you to do is to evaluate it often. And so to look at it and say, okay, is this actually rest or not? And is this actually God accomplishing what you're trying to teach me as you're teaching me to rest? And to be honest with yourself and allow God to be part of that conversation with you as you move forward, realizing this is not about getting something right or wrong. This is about growing. This is about learning how to love him better and through it to love others better as well. So I challenge you to apply the Sabbath principle. And then secondly, and this one is really, really practical, but for me is probably the hardest thing about this entire conversation. The second thing I challenge you to do is this. Go to bed. It's profound, isn't it? I mean, it's profound. It is overwhelmingly spiritual. Go to bed on time. And to set for yourself a healthy schedule of when you're going to go to bed and when you're going to get up. This is so overwhelmingly difficult for me. Because like I told you, when I go to bed, it's like I gave up on life. I gave up on myself. I gave up on anything that I was working on. It's literally a surrender point for me. It's so strange for me because my wife is totally different. And for some of you, you've got this down. My wife loves to go to bed. And she's a morning person, and so she loves getting up super early. She loves to go to bed. And we'll be sitting there at night, and she'll be like, man, I think it's bedtime. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. It's not bedtime. And she just loves it. She crawls into bed. She's like, man, isn't this wonderful? I'm like, this is awful. And so for some of you, you've got this down. But for others of you, you are where I am. And you just push and push and push and push and push. And it's all over the place. You have no idea. There's no time that you're like, okay, this is when I'm going to rest. You need to set a time and go to bed. And you need to understand this. This is part of how you're going to love the people around you. This is part of how you're going to embrace who God created you to be and how you're going to love the people around you. And so often we look at the simple practical things in life. And for some reason, for some reason we divorce them from what God is trying to do in and through us and what God is leading us to. But I think consistently throughout scriptures, God's trying to teach us, no. You need to rest. And you need to embrace this. And as you embrace your limitations, then you open the door for you to experience my limitless power. And there are some amazing things that happen in our lives when we embrace rest. The first thing that happens is we begin to surrender control. You can't rest without surrendering control. And as you decide to trust God in this idea of rest, there's going to be times when you're going to have to rest and you're not done. And in that moment, you have to surrender control. Okay, God, I can't do this on my own. And I'm going to trust you instead of my ability to control the situation. For some of you, you struggle to sleep because of the fact that you will not surrender control. And so you're worrying and you're trying to figure this out and you're trying to know all the variables. And it keeps you up at night. And God's trying to lead you to rest so that you can surrender control. But not only is it part of how you surrender control, it's also how you escape slavery. We've said over and over again here at Hope, Hope, and Grace, one of the main reasons why Jesus Christ comes. What does he say? He says, I've come so that you could experience freedoms, to be able to free the captives, he says. And one of the ways that that happens in your life and my life is that we stop living under the slavery of our work. We stop living, and for so many of us, we're enslaved to that. We're enslaved to our work and what we can perform and the expectations of our boss, the expectations of our career, the expectations of our culture, the expectations of our parents. And we're trying to be able to find our value and our love and our security from these places, and we've become enslaved. And God says, I want you to step out of that. I want you to rest. And when you rest, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to find my value in you. I'm not going to be a slave to that anymore. I'm going to find my value in you. And I'm going to trust you. It helps us to be able to surrender control. It helps us to escape slavery. It helps us, I believe, when you look at the principle of Sabbath, to be able to love those who are closest to us, to set this time aside. We're loving those who are closest to us. And then also it rejuvenates us so that we can move into the greater community and love well. What if we stopped looking at rest as a hindrance to love and we started looking at it as an investment in love? What if we stopped looking at rest as something that was keeping us from loving, and we started looking at it as one of the main ways that we're investing in how we can love those that we so desperately want to love well? And what if this idea of rest is more than just a practical thing? If our defining characteristic as followers of Christ is our ability to love well, and our ability to love well is tied to our time and energy, and our time and energy is so connected to rest, then what if, just maybe, this idea of rest is an unbelievably spiritual thing? Who's the person you want to love well? Invest in that this week. Trust God. Rest. And see what he'll do with that. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we walk through this step that sometimes can seem so practical, can seem so simple, I pray that we wouldn't miss the significance of this. I pray that we wouldn't miss just how significant you're trying to help us to realize that this is, and how just the major role that this plays in every single one of our lives. Father, I pray that as we come out of this conversation today, I pray that we would trust you. I pray that we would understand that you are constantly, in almost everything that you're doing, you're trying to help us to live out this idea of loving you with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. You're just constantly, all of it, you're teaching us how to love. And to understand that this unbelievable emphasis that you put on rest is because of the fact that it's crucial in how we love. I pray that our mindset would shift, that we would begin to look at this as an investment in love. And how we love you, and how we love those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.